So today we are in the fourth and final week of our series in the book of Hosea. So Hosea is this Old Testament book written about 2,700 years ago by a prophet named Hosea. Yeah, there you go. To the people of Israel as God is sending this dire warning to them about idolatry. The nation has gone off and they've started to live just like the cultures around them, taking on the same values and the same worship practices, just striving for power and success at virtually any cost. And so God instructs Hosea to do something that is kind of scandalous, I guess. Well, actually, definitely scandalous, but it's intended to kind of illustrate what God goes through when we turn our back on God. And so God tells Hosea to marry a woman that he knows is going to be unfaithful to him. And as they have children together, and then as we move into the at least I think kind of the more dramatic part of the story, we see not only God's hurt and some snapshot of what God goes through and we turn our back on God, but we also see this really incredible picture of God's love. And so because it's our fourth and final week, we've kind of told the story in different ways. A couple of them have been sort of conventional sermons, and we did a play in the first week. For the last week, I wanted to do something that was just storytelling. So in this case, it'd be storytelling from Gomer's perspective. And I believe God gives us an imagination to use and to apply. But I just urge you to just have your Bibles open and read along with the story. Keep me honest with those things. But I'm going to try to put together some of the historical context and some of the theological context in a way that kind of makes at least one possibility of what it might have been like for Gomer in that story. So I've asked actually Kaya to come up and read Hosea chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. That's the core. And the story, Kai, you're a junior, aren't you? High school? But he's one of our leaders in youth group. And so here's, made it in big print for you. All right. Did I mention you have to say some nasty words?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
A few, okay, good.
Right,
okay.
I read it last night.
Okay, good, yeah. So I figured I'd give you a good warning. But let's just allow God's word to impact our lives today. Thanks for reading, Kai.
The Lord said to me, go show your love to the wife again. Though she is loved by another man and is an adulteress, love her as the Lord loves the Israelites, though they turn to the gods and love the sacred raisin cakes. So I bought her 15 shekels of silver and about a homer of lethek of barley. Then I told her, you are to live with many days. You must not be a prostitute or intimate with any man, and I will behave the same way towards you.
Thank you. You could call it a 7-year itch, but that wasn't really it. She wasn't bored. She wasn't tired, necessarily. She hadn't been abused, not by her husband, at least. But after 3 kids and about 7 years of marriage, she left him. The thing that drove her? Shame. After 7 years, the shame and the sense that she was living a lie. Now, Gomer knew where she came from. The part of the town that she came from. She knew the history that she had. Many men over many nights, and none of them stuck around. She knew what it was like to be objectified. She didn't like it, but at least she understood it. She was valued for her body. She was valued for her abilities. And though the men often treated her like trash, at least she knew why she was valued by them. She had an ability to make them feel good, even as they were doing something that made them feel bad. make them feel important, even as they were lowering their own standards. She didn't like it. She didn't choose it, but she understood it. What she couldn't understand was her husband. See, she understands what it's like to have this sort of relational transaction. I do this for you, you do this for me. If I stop doing this for you, you stop doing this for me. That makes sense. That makes sense. What doesn't make sense? And what makes her feel, made her feel like she was living a lie was, what do you do when you know that you have very little to offer somebody else and they just keep loving you in return? What do you do when you know that it's costing the other person to be with you, and they choose to be with you anyways? Now, while Hosea would tell Gomer that he loved her, and to tell anybody that was willing to listen that he loved her, Gomer couldn't imagine for a moment why that would be true, and how her husband couldn't be absolutely lying. It made absolutely no sense. And so the shame in her mind, as it built up over time, it's like the shame, it like it had a voice in her head. The shame. He doesn't love you. He never could. Who could love someone like you? He doesn't love you. How could anybody love someone like you? There were moments where the world of her inner world would match her outer world. Moments like when she would walk through the village. Because, you know, you walk around town, it's a small town, people talk. She hears the comments behind her back.
What is he seeing her? Gee, didn't he lower himself?
She heard the lewd comments. You know, there's always a guy like that somewhere. The propositions every now and again. But and she didn't like them. It's not like anybody likes them, but at least that made sense. That made sense. And the world around her was treating her like the world that she was experiencing inside of her. There's no way that anyone could love you. Who could love you? You're broken. You're dirty. Who could love you? That voice, the voice of shame. Have you ever heard the voice of shame in your head? And then there were moments in their marriage where I mean, what Hosea is going through, I mean, she could see it on his face, like the birth of their first child. So Gomer, she has curly black hair and brown eyes and a strong nose. And Hosea, he's got curly raven black hair and brown eyes and a strong nose, and out comes her boy, and he's got straight brown hair and blue eyes and looks an awful lot like the Assyrian salesperson that came through town about 9 months ago. You know, when Hosea left to go to another village to buy grass seed for the farm that they had. And Hosea wasn't stupid. He knew where babies come from. He knew how the world worked. She saw the hurt in his eyes, as what he had feared was just blatantly obvious there before him in this little bundle of life. She heard him as he spoke these words, this name over this boy. This boy is named Jezreel. This horrible place of massacre, this place of national disgrace, this place where a king had gone so far beyond listening to God into places of violence and corruption. She heard him speak this horrible name over the boy, and she knew, she understood. I mean, she didn't like the pain that she was seeing in his eyes, but at least it made sense to her. What didn't make sense is how Hosea, he would leave the house, he'd go off to his little prayer area in the back, you know, by the garage or wherever that was, and she could hear him just screaming out into the air, "Why is this happening to me?" She could hear the anger in his voice as he's yelling into the air, into thin air, for what was at least an hour. She could hear as the anger was replaced with sadness. She could hear her husband weeping. She didn't like to hear it, but at least it made sense. That's how things work. And the voice in her head continued to sing a symphony. He doesn't really love you. There's no way somebody could love someone like you. Someone who did something like that. What didn't make sense is what happened when Hosea came back. There's tears still running down his face. And he comes back into the house. And he kisses his son on the forehead. And he kisses her on the forehead. And says, "My beautiful wife, thank you for our son." That didn't make sense. What kind of love just forgives after a hurt like that? What kind of love just overlooks an offense like that? No kind of love that was real, that's for sure, in her own mind. So after three children, all in similar circumstances, she had just had enough of the tension. She felt like she was going to explode. To live with a man who would be so consistently kind when there was nothing in it for him, when there was no good reason, who wouldn't respond in the way that a person should respond to injustice, it was a lie. And to hear the voice in her head, the longer it went on, the louder the voice got. He doesn't really love you. He doesn't really love you. Who could ever love someone like you after what you've done, after who you are? Who could ever love someone like you? So after 7 years, it wasn't the itch, it wasn't the boredom, it wasn't anger, it wasn't abuse, it was the shame. It was the shame that drove her to blow the whole thing up. Just as dramatically as she could. So in the middle of the night, as Hosea is fast asleep, as her children are in their beds, Gomer slipped out. No goodbye, no note, no warning. She just slipped out into the night. And she walked across town to some very familiar places. Some of the kind of places where she had actually grown up. Some of the kind of places where she had some of those first scarring experiences. And she did the unthinkable. She walked into a building that she knew was the brothel. She walked up to the disgusting, sweaty man that was a part of her nightmares as a little girl. And she pledged herself to him. See, Hebrew law allows for up to 7 years of indentured servitude, where a person in dire poverty can basically sell themselves into slavery. And now, of course, it's only for situations of dire poverty, but perhaps this place was not too concerned with following every aspect of the law, if you know what I mean. But it was legal. And so in exchange for room and board, she pledged herself to this man, to this place. She would give her work. She would give her body. She would belong to him in exchange for a small room in the back of the brothel. The next morning, Hosea woke up, And when he first noticed that Gomer wasn't there, he wasn't initially alarmed. He just thought maybe she'd gone off to the market, maybe she'd gone to go pick up supplies, gone to go for a walk, gone to go do something. But as the hours dragged on, he started to worry. Had a relative come over to take care of the kids, and he started walking around the village, asking, looking, has anyone seen my wife, Gomer? Remember, gossip travels fast in the village, doesn't it? It didn't take too long for him to learn. Don't you know, Hosea? She sold herself into the brothel. Hosea would quickly return to the place, to that familiar place, that prayer space behind the house. He would call out to God. He would yell into the air. He would pound on the walls of the building. He was so hurt. He was so angry. God, why does things like this happen to me? How could she do that? But the Almighty, he can hear us in our anger. He can take the rage. And after some time, the anger, as anger is prone to do, when anger is expressed in healthy ways, the anger would be replaced with sadness. And then eventually the sadness would be replaced with stillness. And there behind the house, as Hosea was shaking his fist at the sky, his tears were streaming down his face. When he had yelled for so long, for so loud, he no longer had a voice. Hosea heard another voice. And as clearly as he'd ever heard it and experienced it, he heard the voice of God. Hosea, go and love your wife again. Hosea, go and love your wife like I love the Israelites. Go. Show your love to her again. Gomer was in her room in the back. She had just finished up with a client and she was cleaning up. When she heard a familiar voice, the voice of Hosea, as he was walking up to the front greeting area, I suppose you would call it, with the brothel, talking to the big sweaty man. First, you could hear the anger in his voice. Give her back! It's my wife! I love her! You only want to use her! She saw the expression of kind of sadistic glee on his face as the sweaty man reminded Hosea of the vow that Gomer had taken, of the contract that she had made, and how she now belongs to him. But he's free, of course, to buy her back, as is allowable by the law. It only costs 30 shekels of silver. That's the price for a slave. She could hear Hosea's voice. He said, "But I don't have 30 shekels. I barely even have half that much." And she saw it as Hosea turned around and walked away. Well, I guess that does it then, doesn't it? She could hear the voice in her head. See, he doesn't really love you. How could anyone ever love you after who you are, after what you've done? He does not love you. But just as Gomer was thinking it was over, she heard a familiar voice again. Hosea came back and he was pulling this large cart behind him. Apparently he'd sold off the oxen from the farm. He was pulling it himself. And Hosea came up to the man. He said, "I sold the oxen for 15 shekels of silver. Here's that. And here's the entire harvest from last year. It's everything I own. It should be worth at least another 15 shekels." The sweaty man, who of course was always willing to cut a deal, took it. And as Gomer watched Hosea enter into the house, as she heard him speak her name, as he walked from the lit area of the street into the dark shadows of her room, she still heard the voice in her head. He doesn't really love you. How could he ever love you? How could anyone love you? He doesn't really love you. How could anyone love you? How could anyone love you after what you've done? But then Gomer heard something different. A voice she hadn't heard before. A voice that was deeper. A voice that was richer. A voice a little bit like a lion, a little bit like thunder, and a whole lot like hope. As that voice spoke to her mind. As she watched her husband, the husband who had given up everything, everything to purchase her freedom, as that husband extended his hand from the hallway into her room and said, "Gomer, please come home." And that voice like thunder, the voice like a lion, the voice like hope, spoke these words, "Yes, he does." Now, the reason why we value stories like this is because one of the larger metaphors of the scriptures is that, just like Gomer, all of us have turned our back on God. All of us have done things that are shameful, sinful, shame-worthy. And that shame, perhaps you've heard that voice in your mind too. See, that shame, it affects us. And sometimes it even seeks to define us. And we have the choice between allowing the shame to become our identity or to believe something that, at least from a human perspective, might seem impossible. That in spite of all we've done, In spite of all the things and the ways that we disappoint God, in spite of all the sin, all the failure, all the rebellion, that God could love us desperately. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20 puts it this way. You are not your own. For you, dear Christian, for you, dear human being, for you, dear Gomer, 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 we're all Gomer. For you were bought with a price. For you were bought with a price. The Bible, the story of the Bible tells us that Jesus purchased your forgiveness with his life. That he gave absolutely everything he could possibly give. So that even in the midst of our sin, even in the midst of our rebellion, that we could experience his forgiveness, that we could experience freedom, that we could be made right with God. This is where I realized I inserted a teen question into the sermon, and I didn't even mention it earlier. So I don't know if, did anybody text any of those questions? Maybe they didn't, because I didn't mention it. Let's just assume no. I'm off the hook. Yes! That's lovely. Freedom again. But have you heard that voice? The shame voice? The voice that speaks into your mind on your dark days. See, the natural human inclination is to just assume that we're going to get what we deserve. See, that makes sense. That's contracts. That's business. That's life. But grace is when we get what we don't deserve. When we have a status with God that we didn't earn for ourselves. When we get to experience a love that is seeking nothing in return other than for us to receive it and to enjoy it. Remember, dear friends, you are not your own. You, like Gomer, you have been bought with a price. Jesus, he purchased your forgiveness with his life. And so when the voice of shame speaks into your head, just remember, does God really love you? Yes, he does. Let's pray. God, thanks for your word. Thanks for stories like the story of Hosea and Gomer. We need these stories, God, because they help us to see something that on our own we just couldn't, we can't see. We, like Gomer, we get locked in the shame. We fix our eyes on our mistakes and our past and our history and we naturally believe that those actions, that they define us. But God, thank you for your relentless love, a love that would love us so much that you would give absolutely everything for us. And God, I want to pray for, because I just have to believe there's somebody that's listening right now, whether that's in the room or they're online. And there's some part of their little mind that's hearing the same words that Gomer in the story heard. He's not referring to you. It's referring to all the other people, the people that didn't screw it up as badly as you did. And they're still listening to the voice. God, would you destroy the voice? Would you blow it up? Would you remind them of who they are in you? And God, for anyone here this morning who feels like they are distant from you, Lord, would you enable them to open their hands to you, to open their hearts to you, to be willing to receive your love, to be willing to dare to trust that the God of the universe could love them that much. And I just feel compelled to ask, even as every head is bowed, every head, eye is closed, if that's you, and you've been in that room of shame, and you're hearing God talk to you today, it's like you're seeing the Holy Spirit just extend His hand to you, saying, Gomer, would you come home? And you just want with all your might, you just want to come home. If that's you, I'm not going to put you on the spot. We're not going to do anything weird or dumb or whatever. But I just would love to have the privilege of praying with you. Can we make eye contact for a moment? Can we just look up? Just look up. There we go. That's what I thought. And I'm just praying that God would use this moment, sir. This moment, ma'am. This moment to set you free. You are more loved than you could ever, 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 ever imagine. You have been purchased from your sin, from your slavery. You have been purchased with the very life of the Son of God. That's how much you matter. That's how much you matter. Congregation, can I get you to repeat after me as we just pray out loud as some brothers and sisters around us are making the journey home right now, and they're coming back to God. Can we just pray out loud? Dear God, thank you that you love me and that you love us so much that you would send your Son to give His life so that I could be free, so that I could be forgiven. Lord, help me to believe your love. Help me to respond to your love. Let my life be changed by your love. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray.